Finlayson, Rio 6.
What about the poverty of the Indian people that you've described? Why do you think that they were so poverty-stricken?
Well, the obvious answer to that is 800 million people. Country can't afford them. They were poverty-stricken because I don't know whether it was from the fact that there'd never ever been anything else, but their mode of living, they lived on practically nothing. The clothing they wore was rubbish. The houses they lived in, I don't know whether they paid rent or not in the villages, but if they did, they were being conned, because the conditions were atrocious. Sanitation was unknown. They just urinated wherever they were, or they went out on the Maidan. There's plenty of waste ground in India, all around the villages, and they just used that.
And so when you were a soldier in India, did you think that the reason why the Indian people were at such a low level of standard of living was because of overpopulation? Was that the reason why you thought
that,
of it then?
That, I think, was the main reason. But the main reason, yes, teeming millions and nothing for them really to live on. I mean, the jobs, there weren't any jobs out there. The villagers just tilled a bit of land and had a couple of cows or goats or something, but never met any wealthy ones. And then again, if you go into the Indian states, the Rajas, and that they plundered right, left and center and kept the people down, sort of thing.
Did you ever discuss these things in the barracks, you and the other soldiers, or was it never discussed?
No, nobody bothered about it. It was taken for granted, wasn't it? It was just the normal run of things.
What about Indian political parties? Did you know about the did you and the other soldiers know about the existence of Indian political parties?
Politics were not allowed in the army. There were no politics, and nobody ever, to my knowledge, took part in any Indian political party.
But had you heard of any the names of any Indian political parties when you were a soldier there? Or any Indian political leaders?
Oh, well, Gandhi, of course, springs to mind. Mahatma Gandhi, Pandit Nehru, and more recently Mrs. Gandhi, but no, we never took any interest in Indian politics, I'm afraid. I don't know whether we should have done or not, but
what did the soldiers think of Gandhi and Nehru, if they thought anything about them at all?
Well, I don't think they bothered to think about them. You see, Gandhi, he was the leader of the Untouchables, I think. And the Untouchables are the lowest caste in India. And of course, to the soldiers, they were just the same, I suppose. You know, they were treated as underdogs and that was it.
Did you have newspapers?
Oh, we had local, yes, we had newspapers.
Can you remember which newspapers you had? Were they Indian ones or British
ones?
Oh,
we got the British newspapers. They were all sent out, but they were always 3 weeks behind, sort of thing. But, we had, isn't it funny?
Pioneer, did you have?
No, we had the
Civil and Military Gazette?
Civil and Military Gazette. That's the one that we mainly read, yes. And I think that was printed in Lahore and circulated around. Civil and Military Gazette. I can remember that now distinctly because when we came back from the frontier, we'd been promised a renewal of clothing that had been destroyed or made unusable on the frontier. And
how had it been made unusable?
Well, by working in it, road making and what have you. You used to be grime and all sorts on your clothes, and you had to discard them. But the War Office had said that kit would be made good on a return to Jansi, and it never was to the extent that they had promised. I can't remember the name of the War Minister, but the Civil and Military Gazette published an article on it. I can distinctly remember that the soldiers had been conned into this in business of clothing being replaced. And we were also promised so much a day for road making, because we made some marvellous roads in Afghanistan, you know, we really worked hard on them. And we were to have been paid X amount for road making, but we didn't get X amount, we got something less. We did get something, but not what we thought we were going to get.
Were the soldiers very discontented about that?
Well, I wouldn't say discontented, disgruntled, yes, angry, maybe at not getting what had been promised, but nothing you could do about it. Not really.
So there was no method of making complaints or anything like that, wasn't there?
Oh, you could complain, yes, and you could probably get something replaced by complaining, but it was too much bother, really, you know. As I say, the soldier was amenable to most things out there. I suppose he looked upon it, if I complain, I'll be discriminated against, you know, some future date sort of thing. So you just didn't bother.
Did you have radio?
In Jansi Fort, we had a detachment of the Royal Corps of Signals. And we used to go into their place to listen to the news from home and what have you. Mainly we used to go in there, go to sleep in an armchair until the early hours of the morning when the Scottish and English football results came over the air. We used to be awaiting the time to listen to them. Well, that was the only radio. Well, there wasn't any radio really in these days, you know.
Did the army ever tell you, give you lectures and tell you why you were in India or why you were going out on frontier duty or why you were being called out to deal with the Sikhs in Amritsar? Did they explain these things or did they just tell you to obey orders?
Oh no, you obeyed orders, but you were also told, given the pros and cons of the situation, you were briefed by your officers who explained these things to you. Not why you were in India. Well, that didn't need any explaining, but if you were sent out on special duties, you were told the reason, the cause, and you went.
Did you have any special traditions that you had in the Sea Force?
Well, the Seaforths and all Scottish regiments live on tradition. With all these recent amalgamations that have gone on over the past few years, the Scots have never been in favour of them. English regiments, they seem to accept them and just put up with it. But the Scottish regiments are family regiments and they don't like the idea very much. As, for instance, the Argyll and Sutherland Highlanders, who were disbanded. There's such an outcry up there in Scotland that they're now the Argyll and Sutherland Highlanders again. Other Scottish units were amalgamated under protest, and we, the Seaforths, are no longer, there are no more Seaforths. We are now Queen's Own Highlanders and have amalgamated with the Cameron Highlanders. Now, that's two fine Scottish regiments amalgamated, and the new regiment that has arisen out of the amalgamation are tremendous. They're a great regiment, as can be proved by their service in Germany and Northern Ireland. And as I say, the Scottish regiments, they live on their tradition. They're family regiments and they're very, very proud regiments. I can give you the toast to the Seaforths if you would like it.
Yes, let's have it.
Land of hills, glens and heroes, where the ptarmigan thrives and where the red deer finds shelter. As long as mist hangs o'er the mountains and water runs in the glens, the deeds of the brave will be remembered. Health and success forever to the lads of Caberfae. Now that is the regimental toast of the new regiment and was the regimental toast of the Seaforths. And I follow that with Caberfae Gabra, which means the deer's horns forever.
And when would you use that toast?
This toast is used at all reunions, old comrade association meetings. Somebody usually comes up with the regimental toast.
When would it have been used in India? On what occasions then?
Same thing.
Just on special occasions?
Mess gatherings, you know, or any functions that were held out there. He always toasted the regiment. At the end of a function, when three cheers are called for something, there's always a fourth cheer for Caberfae. The Seaforths never forget to ask for one for Caberfae, which is a regimental motto. A translation of Caberfae is deer's horns, but our cat badge had Cudichan Rhi on it, and Cudichan Rhi means help to the king or the queen, whichever's on the throne.
Did you have any other mess traditions in India?
There were quite a few traditional things that were carried out. For instance, at New Year, the officers always waited on the men for their Christmas dinner or New Year dinner. We had an officers and sergeants football match was a traditional thing in India every year. And else can I think of? New Year, the oldest soldier in the regiment was always played out of barracks, and the youngest soldier was always played in to barracks. The idea there being that you were kicking out the old year and bringing in the new. Most Scottish regiments, I think, do this. Long-serving soldiers who have completed maybe 21, 25-year service, they're usually played out into civilian life.
With the pipes?
Oh, aye, by the pipes and drums, yeah.